sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War and the Right of Secession from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Broadcast again, the 9 o'clock slot, 9 o'clock Central Time. I'm Chris Gerner with American Exposé / DGST, I suppose you can say, as well. Melody Cederstrom and I are connected, and she's the sponsor of what I do. Came across some things tonight and became very involved, and then all of a sudden it's time to go on the air again. I'm just amazed at the information that is coming down, the work that Darren's doing, the work that Dennis is doing. And if you missed Hans's broadcast at 7 o'clock Central Time, it's available on the archives of First Amendment Radio, so you can listen to that. We're going to kind of spread out here. Keep in mind, on Tuesday, Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Central Time, I do the broadcast where I am right now. Darren does Monday and Friday. Darren does tremendous research, and he documents where he goes. So you're encouraged to listen to Darren as well. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time, on First Amendment Radio and WWCR 9.985, and then Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. Central Time on WBCQ 7.415. That's where I am right now. And certainly it can change. It always does. It always has. No reason to think it won't in the future. But Hans's delivery tonight was very, very important. And here we see, dated June 17th out of the UK, ENS is the source. G8 climate action plan weakened to suit United States. And this is just amazing. When you think about the aerial spraying that's been going on, and certainly I watched the video by Mr. Carnicom, and we'll have to get him on in the very, very near future. It could be the aerial spraying is helping to contribute to the drought situation, and he was connecting to that as well. That is the situation that we have today. We are in the middle of a war over water, although we're surrounded by the ocean, and water desalinization plants can utilize that direction for relieving the water drought. But they're not going to do it. The UN system and those countries in control aren't going to do it. So this G8 plan to combat climate change has been watered down to satisfy the United States. An environmental group said after viewing a leaked draft prepared in advance of next month's G8 summit at the Glen Eagles Hotel in Scotland. Friends of the Earth reacted with anger at the content of the draft communique on climate change entitled Glen Eagles Plan of Action and dated June 14th. Compared to an earlier draft leaked on May 2nd, which itself had no specific targets for timetables for action, this version appears to be even weaker. The latest draft, quote, worryingly even calls into question scientists' warning that global climate change is already underway, end quote, Friends of the Earth said. And who are Friends of the Earth and how much knowledge do they have? On June 7th, the National Science Academies of all G8 countries, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Russia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. I didn't know Russia was part of the G7, listeners. Plus the three largest developing countries, Brazil, China, and India, issued joint statement declaring, quote, there is now strong evidence that significant global warming is occurring, end quote. Well, once again, it is aerial spraying that's been going on worldwide contributing to them stating that global warming is a significant problem. What do you call the aerial spraying that's been going on that we've all witnessed? Environmental modification, listeners. And isn't that helping to create more refugees? Isn't that helping to create more problems? And that's what I say about the continuing war against the rich and the poor that's been created on us. This is all part of the game plan. Wars, weather modification, environmental modification, I've said this from the very, very start. With those three factors in place, you don't know what the story is that's causing so many poor to happen. Quote, it is likely that most of the warming in recent decades can be attributed to human activities, end quote. There you have it. The Scientific Academy said, adding, quote, the scientific understanding of climate change is now sufficiently clear to justify nations taking prompt action, end quote. Well, what does prompt action mean? It's going to be cutting back on industry, cutting back on production, cutting back on the ability to support your family, cutting back on the direction of sovereignty is what this is all about. And that's where the United Nations system is. They claim they want countries to be sovereign, but they have rules for countries to abide by. And if they don't abide by the rules, sanctions are put on them. And you know, this is where I draw the line with Jeff Nyquist, stating that the UN is insignificant. It doesn't make any sense. When you see the documentation on our website, and you see the Secretary of the Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF, every country has a governor to the IMF that's a member of the UN system. The IMF is the United Nations, formed in 1944 under the Bretton Woods Agreement. And our Secretary of the Treasury receives no compensation from this country, the United States. So where is the Secretary of Treasury's allegiance? They have to implement a one-world global dictatorship, and it's on the back of us. It's on our backs that this is happening, and most people don't have a clue. Most people don't want to understand. But someday they'll have to understand because it'll be too late. And that's what concerns me more than anything else. Friends of the Earth International's climate campaigner Catherine Pierce said, quote, every reference to the urgency of action or the need for real cuts in emissions has been deleted or challenged. Nothing in the text recognizes the scale or urgency of the crisis of climate change, end quote. Well, how about Mrs. Pierce or Miss Pierce, Catherine Pierce? How about the aerial spraying that's been going on? Can you address the aerial spraying, Catherine Pierce? It's always never discussed by anyone in any position of prominence. Aerial spraying been going on for years. G8 summit host British Prime Minister Tony Blair has vowed to put action to limit climate change at the top of the G8 agenda. Well, see, I thought the G8 was Russia. Who's the country of the G8 and the G7? I mean, going from the G7 to the G8, what's that other country?
Oh, man. G8, G7, come on, people. How confusing is it going to get in the future? I don't know whether Nicholas is there, but if you want to call in, 559-781-3773. We tried that last night, and people weren't able to get in because he wasn't there. Well, it's because he's running the show himself and the network himself, and it's a big job. So give him credit for what he's doing, listeners, and bear with me and bear with us if you can't get through. Enclosed in square brackets, which mean that unanimous agreement has been reached, or the statements, and I guess I'll have to say that, enclosed in square brackets here, quote, our world is warming, end quote, and in brackets, quote, the statement issued by the science and academies on June 2005 said that there is now strong evidence that significant global warming is occurring and that this warming has already led to changes in the Earth's climate, end quote. That was in brackets. Other bracketed statements include, quote, the world's developed economies have a responsibility to show leadership and reduce greenhouse gas emissions, end quote. More bracketed statements, those of us who have ratified the Kyoto Protocol welcome its entry into force and will work to make it a success, end quote. Also bracketed was a much longer statement about the Kyoto Protocol that will strengthen its greenhouse gas emissions trading system and flexible market mechanisms that facilitate investment in carbon neutral projects. Yes. Emissions trading system. What does that mean? It means you can pay to pollute. That's what emissions trading is all about. It is a setup scenario. It's a setup situation that we live today. It's sad to say this all the time, but this goes on to state, after listening to U.S. Chief Climate Negotiator Harlan Watson speaking on the BBC's Today program on May 13th, Pierce said, quote, the G8 meeting provides an unprecedented opportunity for the richest nations to address the biggest threat facing our planet. This opportunity will be missed due to the disgraceful, outdated, and downright dangerous behavior of the U.S., end quote. Well, who's behind the aerial spraying? What is the aerial spraying for? What are these aerosol operations doing to the climate on the entire planet? That's an extreme question to ask representatives, an extreme question to ask everyone. And climate change is just another setup. Now, this Catherine Pierce has a job to take care of. She has a pension to take care of in the future. She has to do what she's told, or she has to do what she's been learning. And where's the learning coming from? Do we really have a problem with global warming? It's just like the tsunami that happened. It fits such a scenario. It had to happen. So it was created. In my opinion, it was created. It just makes total sense. In the Glen Eagles plan of action, square brackets were also inserted into the commitment to work with the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, to provide an assessment of the climate impact of aviation. Well, isn't that interesting when they do aerial spraying? The words, the IPCC are bracketed, indicating less than unanimous agreement to work with the panel of more than 2,500 scientists established by the World Meteorological Organization and the UN Environment Program to assess scientific, technological, and social economic information about climate change, its political impacts, and options for adaptation and mitigation. There's much more to this article. Speaking to Channel 4 News, former British Prime Minister, or actually former British Environment Minister, Michael Meeker, said it is extraordinary that doubt is being cast on the simple assertion that the world is getting warmer. quote, presumably it was taken out because of the Americans, end quote, he said. Other British officials said there are drafts and drafts in days before any international summit, and the only draft that matters is the one signed at Glen Eagles. Well, we don't have any say in any of this. And we're being told this is happening. But what is it ultimately going to do but erode sovereignty, erode national sovereignty? And this is the problem that bothers me more than anything else, listeners. And we don't have any say in anything that happens. We didn't have any say in the war in the Middle East. We didn't have any say in the Vietnam War. We went to Vietnam to fight communism when communism was alive and well in Cuba, 90 miles off the shore of Florida. It never made sense to me as a young man. And I can't imagine why it would make any sense to anyone else. And this is the thing that bothers me so much at this point in time. I'm so upset about certain things that happen. As I said in the 7 o'clock hour when I had Hansa on, Chinese acquisitions reflect brand name strategy. This is quite shocking and depressing. Coming from Dow Jones, while U.S. politicians continue to press Beijing to let the yuan appreciate against the dollar, Chinese firms appear to be increasingly interested in buying up big-name U.S. brands. China experts say Chinese firms aren't on an all-out buying binge, but have been given a green light by the government to go after big-name firms. On Tuesday, a consortium led by the top Chinese appliance maker, Hare Group, placed a $1.28 billion bid for struggling Iowa-based Maytag Corporation. Meanwhile, CNOOC Limited, a division of the state-owned China National Offshore Oil Company, has indicated it could spring a nearly $20 billion bid this week for Unocal Corporation, California oil company that Chevron Corporation agreed to buy last month for $18 billion. Isn't that amazing? Conglomerations, consolidation. And just last month, Lenovo Group Limited, China's largest computer maker, completed its $1.25 billion purchase of International Business Machine Corporation, personal computer business, IBM, listeners. Quote, I think what's obvious is that the policy environment in Beijing has changed. The government is giving large Chinese firms permission to go out and make acquisitions of foreign brands in particular, end quote, Drew Thompson said, a China expert at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. That strategy makes sense in a mature market such as the U.S., where it's presumably easier to turn around an ailing but widely recognized brand than to go begin from scratch, Thompson said. If a Unocal bid materializes, it would reflect China's recent habit of acquiring businesses that give it access to energy and other commodities around the world. About two-thirds of Unocal's physical assets are located in Southeast Asia. The only trouble with that is, here we're becoming more and more dependent on other countries for oil. What is this ultimately going to do to us? What's going to ultimately happen here? When we have oil in our country that we can't tap into. Sad commentary. It says, but such moves also appear likely to increase scrutiny of China's among U.S. politicians already upset by the United States' burgeoning trade deficit. On Tuesday, Representative English, Phil English, Republican of Pennsylvania, introduced legislation in the House that would impose tariffs on China if the U.S. Treasury determines that Beijing has manipulated the currency markets by holding the yuan to an artificially low peg against the dollar. Similar legislation have been introduced in the Senate. Treasury Secretary John Snow and Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan will likely make headlines Thursday when they testify before the Senate Finance Committee on China. So pay attention to that tomorrow, listeners. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, Republican of Texas, sought to throw cold water on English's legislation Tuesday, telling reporters that while China's currency peg is a problem, it would be best to let the World Trade Organization address the issue. And what's the WTO, listeners? The United Nations. Quote, getting into a trade war with China would be ill-conceived and probably would hurt the United States and consumers in the United States more than it would bother China, end quote, DeLay told reporters. And once again, we refer to the current communist goals of 1963. Number four, permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Number five, extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. Number six, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. Number seven, grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the United Nations. Quite remarkable. Well, what kind of a mess did we get ourselves into? I mean, back in the 70s, I was telling people that don't buy products made in communist China. When I was in the motorcycle business and a tool salesman came around selling these Chinese tools, I said, don't do it. Don't sell Chinese tools. You're helping to enslave the rest of the world. We have slave labor products being made in America today in the prisons. Our standard of living is going to go down and down and down further. Most people are strapped to a gigantic mortgage. Most people are strapped to a gigantic car payment. Most people aren't paying attention. This article continues. For a decade, the Chinese currency's value has been manipulated or maintained at a peg of 8.3 yuan to the dollar. U.S. manufacturers and lawmakers complain that the peg is artificially low, giving China an unfair competitive advantage. U.S. officials have said they expect China to eventually act to loosen the peg somewhat, but economists, including Greenspan, have cautioned that a stronger yuan is unlikely to alter the U.S. trade balance significantly. Meanwhile, the prospect of a CNOOC bid for El Segundo, California-based Unocal prompted two GOP lawmakers, Representatives Richard Pompeo and Duncan Hunter, both of California, to fire off a letter to President Bush urging a review of potential implications for U.S. economic and strategic interests, Reuters reported. Heightened tensions are a predictable byproduct of China's growing clout in the world economy. The policymakers should remember that China's economic well-being is in America's best interest, Thompson said. After all, its foreign-owned firms, including many owned by large and small U.S. manufacturers, that are shipping the majority of China's exports. Quote, China is starting to really matter to us, end quote, Thompson said. That doesn't bother most people, but it brings chills up my spine. It upsets me to no end to realize that this is the way it is. I mean, come on. It's so remarkable to see how this is being maneuvered all the time in certain directions. I want to change glasses here. And connect the dot to the Congressional Record. I'm running out of room again. 1953, April 22nd. We're talking about this situation of statism, and we see here in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, listeners, the framers were wise enough to know and brave enough to declare that when you have made property rights secure, you have contributed inculcably to human rights and human liberty. Yet our State Department and Mrs. Roosevelt, that's Mrs. Franklin Roosevelt, try to tell the American people that the right to own property is no serious
omission from the covenant, and that they have the audacity to say that the covenant in no way departs from the American way of life in the direction of communism, socialism, syndicalism, or statism. But Dr. Charles Melick of Lebanon, the new chairman of the Commission on Human Rights, succeeded Mrs. Roosevelt, is more honest about this matter. Within a comparatively short time after Mrs. Roosevelt's statement as issued by the State Department, he stated almost the exact opposite. See September 1st, 1952, United Nations Bulletin, page 251, Dr. Melick said, quote, "I think a study of our proceeding in the Human Rights Commission will reveal that the amendments we adopted to the old text under examination responded for the most part to Soviet than to Western promptings. For the second war, an unsuccessful attempt was made to include an article on the right to own property. The concept of property and its ownership is at the heart of the great ideological conflict of the present day. It was not only the communist representatives who riddled this concept with questions and doubts, but a goodly portion of the non-communist world had itself succumbed to these doubts. A study of this particular debate will show the extent to which the non-communist world has been communistically softened and frightened," end quote. And we're talking about, or they're talking about, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, these human rights treaties, and property ownership, and Eleanor Roosevelt. I continue, "It is almost so fantastic as to beyond belief that our American representatives in the United Nations were so softened and frightened, as Dr. Melick suggests, as to permit a so-called covenant on human rights to be drawn without any provision for a right to own property. Now, while the Secretary of State made the statement that there is to be no actual treaty on this strange un-American document, our representatives at Geneva, Mrs. Lord, proceeded to continue to take part in the formulation of a covenant on human rights and to tell the people of the world we favored such a document, but that the United States was sorry that it could not actually ratify the document as a treaty. However, don't forget, it will thus be in the final form for ratification, and when some other Secretary of State feels so disposed, it can be offered to the Senate for ratification. More fantastic than the covenant itself is the action on the Assembly, or of the Assembly of the United Nations, at its closing session last year, voting affirmatively that where a state takes private property for public use, it is not under obligation to pay any compensation. Therefore, the socialistic or communistic theory of property is but a further development of the general theory of treaties and executive power as expressed in the dissenting opinion in the Steele seizure case last year. This case is the most outstanding and alarming example of what the effect of treaties can be on our domestic law and upon the thinking of our judges." It's all very, very important, people. Lawyers had generally recognized that because of the peculiar provisions of Article 6 of our Constitution, ratified treaties of the United States are the supreme law of the land, overriding state laws and constitutions and even existing laws of Congress. This of itself constitutes a dangerous threat to American rights, which needs correction by an appropriate constitutional amendment. But now the Chief Justice of the United States advances the extraordinary doctrine in its dissent in the Steele seizure case that the United Nations Charter, combined with other international commitments, gives the President of the United States authority to seize private property, an authority nowhere granted to the President either by the Constitution or by the laws of the country. The Chief Justice urged that when the charter was adopted, this country thereby accepted, quote, in full measure its responsibility in the world community, end quote, and an obligation for the suppression of acts of aggression. See what happened back then to bring us to where we are now, listeners? That's the point I try to bring home. Back. 559-781-3773 if you so desire. 559-781-3773.
Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
In America, we value our liberty, but there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This super government will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stop the FTAA.org and keep America free.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Called American Exposé, dealing with the dreary directions. Remember in 1995 there was a women's conference in Beijing, China. Hillary Clinton said we need to model our lifestyle after communist China. We have a Marxist socialist in the Senate, in Hillary Clinton and others of her ilk. And the direction is very, very remarkable. Out of Shanghai, Beijing's Banking Regulatory Commission is studying
raising the limit on foreign ownership of the country's banks, but has no timetable or ratio target for such a move. Li Fuzhan, vice director of the Regulatory Policy and Regulation Department, said, "What is this all about, people?" Coming from Market Watch, quote, "It's only a direction for research so far, and we have no timetable for specific ratio target yet," end quote, Li said Wednesday. The state-run China Securities Journal reported Wednesday that Lai made similar remarks recently at a conference. The newspaper also reported Lai is saying the CBRC should attract more international banks and encourage foreign capital to enter all types of financial institutions. Keep in mind, there's no mention of China being a communist country in this article or any article you read. This is designed to brainwash us into believing communist China is not an existing entity. And that's a sad commentary to have. This article is very, very interesting and worthy of your time on the website AmericanExpose.com. I see that we covered Mexican leader hails growing ties with Russia. We covered that with Hans at 7 o'clock. In 1998, China buying billions in weapons. Chinese acquisitions reflect brand name strategy. We covered that. China may raise limits on foreign ownership of countries' banks. Just covered that. China to decide Unocal bid from Reuters. China's higher group bids $1.3 billion for Maytag. Lots of information here, people. Hoover is next on China's wish list. Can you believe all this that's being maneuvered and implemented? In the meantime, Ford cutting another 1,700 positions. Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty remarkable how things are going on, isn't it? The World Bank water policy from the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, which was originally set up to rebuild Europe after the devastation of World War II. We ask, why does the World Bank have its hands on everybody's business and personal life around the world? And you have to remember George Orwell's warning. When reading any document, you can read people's intentions by their use of the language. If the words are too long and fuzzy, that we cannot understand what is being said, or if we can surmise that they are saying nothing at all, we can be fairly sure the speaker is trying to swindle us. And the international elites are calling for what they say is a new approach to how they manage our water, people. In fact, their plan calls for managing our water, our land, and everything we do, and keep in mind that connects to Agenda 21. The World Bank claims that their overall directive is to reduce poverty, and that's very, very strange. Why is the World Bank involved in social engineering? In fact, all of the World Bank programs are involved in redistribution of land, resources, and wealth, and that's the problem. Keep in mind our Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF, the World Bank, the African Development Bank, the Asian Development Bank, all of those interconnected. It would appear that the people at the World Bank are ignoring the truism. Give a man a fish and feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish and he will learn to feed himself. And there is the problem. And there's where global warming is connected. And there's where weather modification is connected. There's where aerial spraying, aerosol operations are more than likely connected, keeping it from raining. Very, very possible. Let alone increasing the number of endangered species because killing off small animals are going on with aerial spraying, I'm convinced, because I saw the bee population disappear in the portion of California that I was living in the past. And what is the real objective of the World Bank? Aren't they on the right track to land starvation, resources starvation, and wealth starvation? Very, very important to remember all this. I'm very, very serious about this.
why does the World Bank blame for all this poverty and starvation? Well, the current governments, of course. The current industrialized country governments. The World Bank specifically points out the total mismanagement of water by all governments, explaining, of course, that the bank is destined to be the savior of the water. All water everywhere. And this is where the Kyoto Protocol comes into place. And this is where global warming is the big problem, listeners. Global warming is the big problem, and we've got to contribute to that and be a part of that treaty as well. The World Bank will use estimated opportunity cost to set the price of water. The World Bank defines EOC, that's estimated opportunity cost, as the value of goods or services foregone, including goods and services, when a scarce resource is used for one purpose instead of for its next best alternative use. And how's that for George Orwell thinking? Once again, the World Bank defines EOC, estimated opportunity cost, as, quote, the value of goods or services foregone, including goods and services, when a scarce resource is used for one purpose instead of for its next best alternative use, end quote. And this is incredible stuff coming from the UN and the World Bank. It's a fuzzy-sounding situation. I mean, you can't get to the bottom of what they're saying. The World Bank claims that all the current governments have all of these various faults, listeners, misallocate wastewater, permit damage to the environment due to weak and distorted policies, neglect financial accountability, neglect user participation, charge too low a price for water, ineffective delivery of water to users, especially the poor. And how are poor created? Wars, weather modification, environment modification. Operate under centralized structure as well. The World Bank then makes more proclamations. Water is essential for life. Well, there's a bold statement. Water has an economic value and is recognized as an economic good. Water is a scarce natural resource. Well, why is it a scarce natural resource? Environmental modification, listeners, which is contributing to global warming, listeners, which is the problem. Here I see from LifeScience.com, the planet is warming. Humans are mostly to blame, and plants and animals are going to dramatic lengths to cope. That's the consensus of a number of recent studies that used wildlife to gauge the extent of global warming and its effects. You know, I remember when the upper desert in California, the Mojave Desert, there were water cisterns that were filled by the ranchers, by the people of surrounding areas. They fill these cisterns of water for the animals out there. When they closed down the desert, they couldn't fill those cisterns. So what happened? The animals died that depended on that water. There were people that loved the animals that lived out there in the Mojave Desert. The wilderness, the desertification treaty closed all that down. Diane Feinstein was part of that. The manipulation that goes on today is just perverse. But to most people, they don't pay attention. They don't care. It doesn't bother them because it hasn't bothered them yet in the pocketbook. Everything we do today has an expense and a charge. And you have to keep your eyes open because there will be all kinds of fees regarding water. And this is especially since the World Bank will be certain to charge a high enough proper price for water. And they'll have social fees. Those who have worked hard to better themselves will have to come up with subsidies for the poor. This is going on right now. We're in the middle of a battle over this right now. There'll be benefit taxes. If you receive any benefit whatsoever from your land, you will be taxed on that benefit. You will be charged pollution charges. It's a pollution tax for any pollution on your land. In other words, the poop left by your pet on your land is going to cost us big time. The lawn tractor that you use or the lawnmower that you use will cost you on your land in the future. The World Bank wants to terminate with extreme prejudice, listeners, the federal structure on all countries. The World Bank will not permit sovereign states within the federal structure to have any authority over the water. The World Bank plans to do this by replacing all country and state political boundaries with geographical river basin boundaries. The World Bank plan calls for the transfer by contract of all water jurisdiction by governments to private corporations and user associations. You see, listeners, this is why I stressed this article. And bear with me while I find it. It's a big stack now that I haven't covered. A lot of information that I haven't covered from the newspapers. But this is a perfect example of privatization, infrastructure privatization, Executive Order 12803, Buffett buying utility, striking the second biggest deal of his career, and I've covered this before, but I'm going to cover this at length now. Striking the second biggest, and once again, this is dated May 25th, the second biggest deal of his career and making a major move in the energy industry, billionaire investor Warren Buffett agreed Tuesday to pay $5.1 billion in cash to acquire Western States Electric Utility PacifiCorp. Only a $16 billion stock purchase of reinsurance giant General Re in 1998 outranks the latest buy for Buffett's investment vehicle. Berkshire Hathaway Incorporated, which holds a majority interest in PacifiCorp's Bayer, Iowa-based Mid-American Energy Holdings Company. Quote, the energy sector has long interested us, and this is the right fit, end quote, Buffett said. Mid-American will purchase Portland, Oregon's based PacifiCorp from Scottish Power PLC, which acquired the utility in 1999. In addition to, and that was a public, that was a buyout in itself. In addition to the cash payment, MidAmerica will assume $4.3 billion in PacifiCorp debt and preferred stock. The transaction, the third major acquisition in U.S. energy industry in the past year, is expected to close in 2006. Quote, it's going to be one of the biggest or bigger energy companies in the country, end quote, said Tim Winter, an analyst at A.G. Edwards & Sons. MidAmerican, based in Des Moines, Iowa, said the deal will create an energy holding company serving approximately 3 million electric and natural gas customers in 10 states and would have 6.6 million customers worldwide. The combined, isn't that amazing? 6.6 million customers worldwide. The combined MidAmerican PacifiCorp will have assets of more than $32 billion, including $25.3 billion in the United States. MidAmerican will have approximately $10 billion in annual revenues internationally, including $8.5 billion from the United States, the company said. The deal follows Chicago-based Exelon Corporation's December announcement that it would acquire New York, New Jersey-based Pacific Service Enterprise Group Incorporated for $12 billion in stock, creating the country's biggest utility. May 9th, Charlotte, North Carolina-based Duke Energy said it had agreed to buy Cincinnati-based Energy Corp in a stock deal worth $9 billion. But the crux of this situation is, here you have the Capco number one dam operated by PacifiCorp on the Klamath River outside Hornbrook, California. Remember the Klamath River mess? So this is a perfect example of what I was just covering. The World Bank plans call for the transfer by contract of all water jurisdiction by governments to private corporations. I just covered it, listeners. And user associations. These corporations and user associations will, of course, be mandated to meet all World Bank regulations and prohibitions. This is it. This is the problem. This is what's going on right on from under our noses, and we don't have a clue. We aren't paying attention, and that's just the way those in charge want it to be. These private entities will operate at the river basin level. States will not have any control. And note that a river basin includes all surface and underground water flowing into a common area. They simply march from the wetlands up the river, up the streams, to the headwaters, which are typically runoff or springs. This includes any water in the ground along the way and any land which would allow water to run into the river basin area. And keep in mind, the World Bank requires an environmental impact and assessment of the entire river basin system. The river basin organizations will be assessed or assisted by the Global Environmental Facility in collaboration with the UNDP, the United Nations Development Program. So these World Bank contracts will comply with each country's national objectives, which are, of course, the objectives of the World Bank. Those objectives are stipulated in the Water Project Loan Agreements for Country. The World Bank Water Project loans clearly spell out that, quote, in acceptance of the monies of the World Bank, the countries must participate in the international initiatives, end quote, such as the United Nations conventions, treaties, agreements, and they must implement the World Bank policies on water and land use. So the World Bank Water Resources Management Program is structured similar to a medieval feudal system, people. And that's the problem. The World Bank is at the top of the pyramid as the lord and master, dictating how the water will be used through demand management. And demand management, what is that, people? Price-based incentives to enforce low water usage. And that's basically a fancy way to say raise the price to whatever level it takes to achieve the World Bank goals. They want to ration water. Water restrictions on specific usage, determined by the World Bank, obviously. Beijing, China is given as an example. Quotas on water consumption, fines on excessive water use. As outrageous as that may sound, here's a quote by Rockefeller, David Rockefeller. Quote, whatever the price of the Chinese Revolution, it has obviously succeeded not only in producing more efficient and dedicated administration, but also in fostering high moral and community of purpose. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history, end quote. See, this is the problem, people. We're working with the wrong people. Those in charge want to eliminate the population. Aerial spraying's been going on for quite a few years. We see it in the sky. We don't have blue skies any longer. We're mandated to put smog control devices on our cars. We're mandated to buy pollution-free cars. But yet they're polluting the skies. Mankind is blamed for all the endangered species and the species disappearing. And yet aerial spraying is going on, polluting the skies. Who's doing the aerial spraying? Do you see what kind of a war we're in right now? And this is why I put Hans on, because he's connecting in the other end of the spectrum of Soviet Russia, or the Russian Federation, which changed its name for our consumption, so we're dumbed down to believe that Russia is not a threat to us anymore. Russia is a Federal Reserve threat that was created by the Federal Reserve bankers, the Wall Street bankers. Who wrote the book Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler? Anthony Sutton. All this by design is what's going on today. There's no facet of society that isn't under some kind of attack and control structure, including the loss of our firearms. So back to this frame, and see, I go all over the place. I connect a lot of dots because there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of engineering being manipulated at this point in time. The police state is part of this, no doubt about it. But the police state is only one little minor part of it. That's the problem. So back to this, how global warming is changing the wild kingdom. Well, the topic of climate change is contentious, including whether the planet is actually heating up. A growing number of documented shifts in traits and behaviors in the wild kingdom is leading many scientists to conclude the world is changing in unnatural ways, listeners. Among the changes, marmots in their hibernations about 3 weeks earlier now compared to 30 years ago. I'm going too fast. I apologize. Polar bears today are thinner and less healthy than those 20 years ago. Many fish species are moving northward in search of cooler waters. Are they really? Is this really true? How can we believe anything we're being told today? A fruit fly gene normally associated with hot, dry conditions has spread to populations living in traditionally cooler southern regions. Aerial spraying. What has aerial spraying contributed to our environment? This is the problem, listeners. We're a vassal state of the UN system. I've proved that to you over and over again. Most countries are vassal states to the UN system. The UN system is being implemented in Iraq right now. In the meantime, Russia and China, allies together, are strategically buying up and working with other countries. Putin is coddling up to Mexico. We covered that at the 7 o'clock broadcast with Hans. And here we are with this World Bank water policy report. And the bottom line is we're being maneuvered with global warming now, too. Over the past century, Earth's average temperature has risen about 1 degree Fahrenheit, and many scientists believe greenhouse gases and carbon dioxide emissions from human activities are to blame. Left unattended, they warn temperatures may rise an additional 2 to 10 degrees by the end of the century. Oh, my. In the leading computer models, it follows that polar ice will melt and seas would rise drastically, threatening coastal communities around the globe. That is just amazing. All the more reason to use the water of the ocean to feed the world, listeners, which can happen. The fact that water desalinization plants utilizing the ocean water are not being encouraged by any of the World Bank people, any offshoots of non-governmental organizations, makes you very, very suspicious about what's being directed today. Aerial spraying, people. Aerosol operations. What in the world is going on with aerosol operations that have been going on for so long? How can we get to the bottom of that, people? Chemtrails. You know? We're being directed. Dated December 25th, 2004. Chemtrails news item. More information, please. Newsofviews.com ran a news item on chemtrails last week that brought an avalanche of mail similar to what happened regarding the first news item on Rumsfeld and aspartame. There are just a few comments about hundreds of letters to the editor. I think it's important to hear stories on this issue from regular people around the country. From Nathan, look at the work of Clifford Carnicom at carnicom.com, which has extensive chemical analysis of chemtrail emissions. The chemtrail biological viral content of chemtrails changes. In the past, various biologically active elements, viral bodies, have been in chemtrails causing widespread flu-like symptoms and shortness of breath, end quote. And keep in mind, listeners, there's other people that have been working on chemtrails and disclosing them in the past. They need to continue.